Chase likes to call me Deanie. I won't tell you what I call him. So when you're wondering what a dean is, if you find out, let me know. That would be really helpful. I think it would be good to have. When you look at me and when people see me, if I'm not vested, they'll say, well, you don't look like a priest. And I would say, I'm not sure what that means. But when most people see me, they see a linebacker or something similar. And the truth is, I did play when I was younger, and I am probably more like a linebacker. And when it comes to different things around kind of work that I've done, I have done in times past, some kind of more construction-esque type things. But to be clear, I'm not the one who's building the forms and the mathematical things that have to go on with construction. That's for other folks. I'm the one on the shovel. And I can turn a shovel, and I can wheel things, and I can do things. I put the manual in the manual labor. And so I'm happy to do those things. And if you look at me, you think, yeah, I think that probably would fit pretty well. Also, I have the capacity to say something and keep a completely straight face. So you're likely not going to know when I'm joking. So what's going to happen is that I'll say something, and if it's a joke, I'll just wait. And so if there's a really long, awkward, pregnant pause, just laugh. And then it'll be like, oh, okay, they got the joke. Chase is still waiting to understand most of my jokes. So part of my ability to carry heavy things and or shovel was put to work one time when I went with a group of men to help build onto a camp in Russia. And I made it clear before we went, you know, they're assembling the team and they're like, we've got certain types of people on the team, you know, and it was like, and then there's Bob. And Bob can carry the cement or do whatever is required that way. Happy to do it. That's just kind of my thing. But what I realized is that people don't always do things the way we do them here, and in stark contrast, as a matter of fact. So I was given a task of having to shovel a rather large amount of dirt, and then the dirt was to be spread across this hillside, which I still to this day don't understand why they were wanting this done. And it maybe have been just to keep us busy, I don't know. But I knew that my job was to get this dirt and to put it across that hillside. And I also know, because I've been fortunate enough to travel, that people will frequently look to Americans when they want something done, because we're doers. It's like, if you want something fixed, you want something done, you want something built fast, you just call the Americans. We will come in like a hive of bees, we're just all over the place. Boom, it's done, out we go, thank you very much. But the rest of the world doesn't work that way. And what happens is that then we do things differently than other people do them, and we tend to say things like, we need to work smarter, not harder. Anybody in here ever said that? Yeah. And so that's how we think, that's how we orient, that's what we do. And so I was tasked with moving this large pile of dirt, and I realized that it would be beneficial if they'd have put the dirt at the top of the hill as opposed to the bottom of the hill to keep me from having to wheel the said dirt up the hill, spread it, and then come back down and keep doing this. I thought, well, wouldn't it have made more sense to drop the dirt at the top and then spread it? But no, they didn't think like that. And that's perfectly okay, except for the fact that I was the one moving the dirt. Not only that, when it began to rain, I felt a little more of a sense of frustration with the fact that this dirt was now becoming a mud pile and I was asked to move it. So as I was shoveling, I looked up and I noticed this man was watching me, and he was happy to watch me. And he's sitting there smoking a cigarette while he's watching me. And I got a little tired of that. Maybe not in my most Christian moment. I said to him, why don't you come over here and shovel? And of course he didn't speak English, so he knew what I was saying. So I walked over to him with the shovel out like this. And he looks at me and he's like, no problem, you know? Sets a cigarette down, grabs the shovel, shovels vigorously for like four or five times, turns around and hands me the shovel back and goes back to smoking and looking at me. And I was like, well, that's not what I thought would happen. So I kept shoveling the mud, but I realized that he, you know, in his economy, it was, I can shovel. That's not a problem. And my thought was, well, we need to be able to work a little smarter and not harder at this, and we've made this incredibly difficult. And I think that's true in most cases for most Christians. I think that we're keen on working harder and not smarter. And what we need to be able to do is hear from Christ about what it means to work smarter and not harder. And this scripture in Matthew 11, I think, points specifically to that. And in verses 28 and 29 and 30 is where I want to spend our time this morning. Because Jesus says something incredibly important that I think we are called to practice. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. The invitation from Jesus comes to us today in the same way it did to them in the first century. And when Jesus says, come to me, it reminded me of when Jesus said that to Peter when he was walking on the water. And it implies that we're actually somewhere else. So when someone says, come here, it's usually because we are not where they are. And so Jesus knows that people are not often located where he is. And that there are times where we may be adjacent to Jesus, but not present to Jesus. There are times where you have maybe seen this, and maybe you've done this yourself. There are these things called cell phones. Anybody ever heard? That's one of those. Okay, I'll wait. Okay. It's a cell phone. And what happens is that people of a variety of ages, it's not young people only, but they will be stuck in their phone. And they can be adjacent to someone. They could be in someone's presence and not present. And maybe you've experienced that. And so you could be sitting there and thinking, like, I know that you're here, but you're not with me. And Jesus is talking about that. Come to me. Don't be adjacent to me. Don't have the trappings of being with me. Come to me. When you've been looking elsewhere for hope, when you've been trying to find it or rest anywhere else by distraction or other means, Jesus says, come to me, because we are looking for a gift that only God can provide, which is rest for our souls. You won't find it anywhere else. You can't work harder for this. You have to receive what he offers. And the invitation goes to all who are weary and heavy laden. And the idea of being weary means that you're just kind of bone tired of something. And frankly, I was really weary of all the election nonsense. I thought, if I have to watch one more commercial about how evil someone is, or how they're going to lead our country into oblivion, and how amazing someone else is, I'm going to scream. And if I had to drive through one more intersection that was littered with signs, I'm going to scream. Why? Because I'm so tired. I'm tired of the division. I'm tired of Christians being completely hijacked by politics. I'm tired of all of the rhetoric of both sides. It was interesting in our collect today. There was a part of the prayer that I wanted to say again. Mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule. We have one king, and only he can do that. And I'm tired of people making promises that they can't keep. We can be weary of all kinds of things. We can be bone tired of the burdens that we carry. And Jesus says, if you are carrying a heavy burden, come to me. Are you heavy laden? Maybe it's with the illness of a loved one. Or maybe it's concern for those you care for. Maybe the burden is that you need to have an income, and if you don't work, nobody's gonna. You have to pay your bills or actually have health insurance. Or maybe it's worry. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's fear. And Jesus' invitation is, come to me. Don't go anywhere else to find what you're looking for. Come to me. If you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says. I will give you rest. Now, what kind of rest is he talking about? Well, there's different types, and I know the kind that I want is not just a cessation from activities. I don't want to have to do it again. I don't know if you're like me, but if you want to give me rest, I'm like, yeah, can you take the shovel? Keep it. And then I'm done. I'm going to go do something else. Thank you very much. But the kind of rest that Jesus is speaking about is the one that means that he is present to us while we work and while we stop working. And it only comes from his presence. So when you think of the seventh day Sabbath, what does that look like? Well, God didn't quit working. He rested. And he's at work today. When we think about the promised land and the rest that God promised his people, when you enter into the land, you'll be able to rest. Well, that doesn't mean that they didn't sow crops. It didn't mean that they didn't have to do the hard work of forgiveness. And finally, the end state of rest. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I don't think Jesus is going to give me a Barco lounger for eternity. I don't think that's what's happening, but I could be wrong. The promise is, as we are going with him, he will give us rest. And this is where I find that Christians struggle mightily, because we think it's up to us. And the whole while, our Savior and our King is saying, come to me. Come to me. I see you. Come to me. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, there was a question about how yokes work. And I understand that Chase probably hasn't spent a lot of time around animals. And so I'll do this one, Chase. Yokes are what are inside of an egg. And they have... You're way better than the first service. We kind of prepped you instead. The first service was like, that guy is whatever. So when you talk about a yoke, it's something that you put on so that you may do work, but you can work smarter, not harder. You put the yoke on an animal, and you can do far more work. And if it's a double yoke, then you can work two animals inside. And the interesting thing about a yoke is that when you have an animal and two animals, they have to be equal, because the stronger animal will always outwork the weaker animal. And as they're pulling, guess what happens? The stronger animal gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And then pretty soon, you've defeated the purpose, which is why Scripture says don't be unequally yoked. But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And what does his yoke look like? Well, first it means that you have to take yours off. You have to take off your yoke. You have to give it to Jesus. There's a famous country song some years back that said, Jesus, take the wheel, right? That's not what I'm saying. When you ask Jesus to take something from you, you abdicate your responsibility for giving it. We actually have to give it to him. Lord, I'm taking this off of me and I'm handing it to you because you have something far better for me. So the invitation is to take off our yoke, to take off the burdens that we are carrying, to set down the things that are making us weary and that are heavy laden. And I can't see inside your head, and I don't know your hearts, but I'll bet this is you. Take off your yoke. Take off someone else's yoke. If someone has placed a burden on you, take it off. Take off the yoke of expectation and of fear and of failure, whatever yoke you are under. Jesus gently offers us his yoke. And he says to learn from me. Learn how to do the work I have prepared in advance for you to do. That's from Ephesians chapter 2. We know that there's things that God wants us to do. And more importantly, it's about who God wants us to be. And that is primarily his children. Learn to be my child. Learn from me. It's not about not working ever again. It's about resting, and it's about resting in what Jesus has provided for us, which is himself. It's about taking a break, but also learning how to work smarter and not harder. There's an epidemic of pastors who, boy, we have a hard-working pastor, and they fall into moral failure. Or, boy, our pastor just, he gives us everything, and their families fall apart. That's not an idol that we should worship. It's when we face burnout and when we're crippled by the weight of the work that is in front of us or our cares or our responsibilities, we are called by Jesus to come to him. Come to me. Don't just come to worship. Don't just check the box and say, oh, I went to church, I'm good. Come to me. Don't be Jesus adjacent. Come to me. When we're tired by how we do things and when we're ground down by the crushing expectations that we have of ourselves and maybe even those around us and maybe even the expectations we think of what God may want from us, we are called to come to Jesus. Why? So that we can learn from him that there is a better way, that there's a way that looks different from the way that we've been doing it. Jesus says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. It's very interesting because God is not angry. He's not looking to smite you. He's not riding around on a cosmic Harley waiting to give you a ticket because you did something wrong. That is not God's general disposition towards his creation. For God so hated the world that he sent his only son. For God so loved the world, right? His disposition is that he loves us and that he loves you. And he longs to be with you and for you to come under his yoke. So he doesn't hate you, and he's not smoldering with disappointment towards you. He doesn't have a little voodoo doll of you that he just pokes when you make a mistake. He isn't tired of you. God has not grown weary of you. You don't make him feel heavy laden. His love is never ending, and his mercies never end, and his peace is for us to enjoy. And his joy is to be our strength. Not us working harder. His grace is not only sufficient, but it overflows toward us because he knows we need it and because he loves us. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I skipped a whole section. You will find rest for your souls. And I don't know anybody who doesn't want to rest. Jesus knows that we need rest, and rest that comes from stopping our striving, rest that looks like living our lives in Christ, not for him, but because of his great love for us. God doesn't need us. He loves us. And anything that we do is because of his love for us. It's not a burden, but as a deep abiding love and joy, knowing that we're adopted by the King of Kings. I mean, we're singing about it, we're talking about it, we're reading about it. Is that the one who's calling you to come to him this morning? They're not just words. It's an invitation from the Most High to you today, this morning, right now, where you sit. He says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And when we don't take up Christ's yoke, we fail to show the world what our King is like. We misrepresent Jesus by our weary hearts and by trying to carry burdens that we were never meant to carry. You're not supposed to carry those things. He is. And that's why we look so terrible to the world. That's why, you know, non-Christians look at Christians and they go, I don't want to be a part of that. They're weary and heavy laden. They're not full of joy. They don't talk about hope. We look like an ox in a double yoke, but we're the only one in it, pulling and straining and wearing ourselves out all the while, telling our spouses and our children and extended family and coworkers and acquaintance how great life is with Jesus. It doesn't look that great. You see, how we go about our work reveals what our King is like. And when I look at most Christians, I'm brokenhearted. It just breaks my heart. Because the offer of Jesus is to come to him, and yet many don't. And he offers rest, but so many choose a life he never called us to live. A life of unmet expectation and disappointment, and many are joyless and fearful, as if we do not have a king at all. And I want you to know that today can be different. Today can be different. You can actually learn how to work smarter and not harder this morning. You may have felt if I was describing you this morning, you may be weary, you may be heavy laden. Or maybe you were thinking, man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this message. I don't know. But I know that the invitation that Jesus made in Matthew 11 applies to you and me right now, right here. Jesus is calling you to come to him. Will you do it? Jesus is offering you his rest. Will you take it? He's offering you his yoke. Will you lay down what you've chosen for yourself, for what Christ has for you? Will you do that? He's offering to teach you a new way to walk with him. Will you learn it? It's easy to dismiss this kind of message. Yeah, we all struggle. Bleh. Talking with Jesus is pretty tough. Yeah, I put his yoke on, I take mine off, I put his on around. Yeah. Knock it off. That's not what Christ has for you. Mediocrity is not what Christ has for you and for me. He has joy. And there's a world that's desperate to see Christians living lives that look like we have this amazing King of glory. The world's desperate for it. You can receive from Jesus his presence and his wisdom and his peace and his forgiveness, his joy. All of that comes from being his child and walking with him, not next to him, but with him. It's a gift from God. It's free. It's a gift. And that Christ extends to us. Will you take it? Maybe a way that you could do this is this morning as you take communion. Bring your burden and drop it before you receive God's bread in your hand. Maybe if you're sitting there and you're under a yoke, take the yoke off before you get up and come forward. As a simple way of saying, this is what I want. I want to learn from you. Teach me, Jesus. Because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. You're not called to shovel dirt up a hill. Right? You're called to come to him and learn what it means to work smarter and not harder. Amen. Amen. Amen.